Hey, something's different this time. It's Giardis Weekly.
Oh, what's different?
Well, we're starting a little later this time.
Oh, yeah, we are?
Yeah.
Ooh, we get naughty.
Well, sure. This is naughty. So we can get to that after dark portion of the show that everyone loves just so, so, so much.
Well, we can already pretty much cat ass.
Welcome.
Yeah, I mean, we've already seen cat ass, so.
Welcome to Giardis Weekly, episode number
314. 3.141519. Our kid can do 100 digits of pi.
She can. It's fantastic. The folks here tonight, the lady who's got the feels that there's the Flintstress.
Beliefs can evolve. Denying that can cause almost as much chaos as the worst storm.
Can't stop it. The woman who just wants to know that there's Carol the cat.
Why are you calling me on the Never Call This Limelight?
Fair question. The man that just needs you to understand this podcast, he's Rich Sickrit.
My dear, I've told you before, never come between me and my liquor. You'll get knocked down.
And I'm the guy who just isn't doing it. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
If anybody orders Merlot, I'm leaving. I am not drinking any f***ing Merlot.
It's just not going to happen. What did happen there, though, yo?
Ooh, I didn't drink Merlot this week, but I got pretty messed up on, what was it called? It was called Prickly Pear Margaritas. Ooh, they were good. They were dangerous.
But anyway,
geeky sweet time. Hey, everybody. I just messed up my hair. Like, it was totally fine. And then I just tossed it in the air and now it's all messed up. Anyway, whatever. Geeky sweet. We've been watching Top Chef. So that's always fun, you know, seeing what the chefs are going to cook and who's going to get kicked off. And, you know, the reality show where they're actually like making stuff. So that's always really fun. But it's been a while since we watched it. So I'm like, do I remember what they just recently did? I don't know. I'm tired because we traveled. Maybe I should just work backwards because we just got back. We were in North Carolina, in the neck of the woods, seeing our niece graduate from high school. And it was really cool. And congratulations to her. But it was so weird. Okay, first of all, she goes to this, like, not a private school, but a school that you could choose to go to. But you have to be, like, pretty smart. And if you have a behavior issue, they can just kick you out. You have to have transportation to and from the school. It's basically kind of like a gifted school. Like, you sort of had to apply for it, but it's still like a regular public school. There were 66 kids.
Sounds like a charter or a magnet school.
No, but it's still part of her regular public school district. Like, the graduation was still at the, like, basketball arena. You know what I mean? Like, but there were 66 kids. And, I mean, the high school where I used to work had, like, 400 kids in every graduating class. So it was just weird. And here's the thing. Have y'all been to a graduation lately? The past, like, 10, 15 years, you have a frame of reference for, like, a high school graduation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know how somebody will always say, don't clap in between the people's names because we want everybody to hear, right?
It lasts through two kids, and that's about it.
Not at this one. It was the creepiest thing because they said the names. Nobody clapped. Nobody cheered because apparently in years past, they like had to kick people out, and like it was silent. It was creepy.
They said you could stand up. When your kid's name happened, you could stand up.
So we stand up eventually and going like,
like wacky wavy inflatable tube men.
Yeah,
and I just yelled my ass off in sign language, so F them.
And then well, we just took other opportunities to yell for our particular kid, like as they were walking out or whatever. But I was just like, holy crap, this entire place full of people actually didn't clap. It was so weird. It was weird, y'all. It was weird. I was like, I sent a video to my friend, like an other educator friend. And he was like, whoa, that was creepy. And I was like, it was creepy. And it was like, you feel bad for the kids. Cause like, I understand there's always some people who get like a really loud yell, like the popular kid or the kid with like hundreds of family members in attendance, no matter how many tickets they give out. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you get the kids where like, nobody really cheers for them. And I understand, you know, maybe they just didn't have anybody who could make it in this, that, and the other, but like, it was weird, y'all. It was weird. Weird. Okay. Flynn, any comments?
I mean,
Flynn, did you feel it was weird?
I was surprised that no one actually made a sound, and it was afterwards they're like, oh no, they've kicked people out of here before for doing it. I'm like, oh, I guess, okay, well that's why everybody was behaving themselves. But it was strange that nobody actually did make a sound at all. I was very
It was literally to the point where they started reading the names, and I was like, holy shit, people are really not doing, like, here's the thing. Nobody told me about the rule. It's a good thing our niece's name was not fucking first, right? Or else I would have jumped up and cheered and gotten kicked out of the arena because nobody told me about the rule. If we had been first, I would have been like, oh, they don't really mean it. And I would have gotten kicked out of the Coliseum in North Carolina. It would have been ridiculous. I 100% would have gotten kicked out. And I don't think I would have cared. I probably would have been like cheering the whole time I was getting kicked out. Like, what do I care? I saw my, you know, niece walk across the stage. Fine, kick me out. But I would have gotten kicked out in North Carolina. Anyway.
Some people just like to cause trouble.
I do actually very much love to cause trouble. And, you know, if my daughter had not explicitly said, please do not, mom, I might have broken the rule anyway and gotten kicked out mid-ceremony because I just wanted to get up and cheer for my, you know, you gotta do that. I don't know. I was a little bit personally offended as a loud cheerer. But anyway.
I bet it was the quickest graduation you've been in, the amount of kids.
Less than an hour.
See, so you're not complaining about not cheering now, are you?
Nobody cheering. It was weird. It was weird. Mm. And they had an alma mater and a fight song. I was like, "Who do you think you are?" Whatever. It was very pretentious, but it was. I mean, it was also good. Anyway, let's talk TV. I guess some more. Star Trek Discovery finale, like the finale of Discovery. Did you all see it? Right. Yes. No.
I am behind. Oh, yeah.
But you're behind. You can
discuss. I don't.
I mean, I just can't believe that they killed. And then when they went ahead and those other two had. And then when the ship. Oh, my God.
Well, OK. I think that there is a range of kind of like wrapping up the show all the way from abruptly getting canceled and you never get any closure all the way up until like way too many like tying the knots of the bows and like multiple different endings and you think it's over and they're, oh wait, there's one more thing that we have to resolve. I do think that as far as that spectrum goes, this episode of Discovery was definitely far on the end of wrapping up all the bows, like, or at least trying to. And while I found that to be satisfying because I do generally prefer my endings to go that way, I also got a little bit to the point where I was like, okay, come on, really? Can we just like, we don't have to, you know, like, and the tech of Discovery itself, the spore drive and the being able to jump, right? Like, I think at one point they said it wasn't very replicable. Like, they couldn't do it to scale, right? Because what's his name had to have the tardigrade inside of him. I can't, the midichlorians, whatever it is, right? So then he can drive.
The guy from Rent, yeah.
And so, I know. That's going to piss a lot of people.
My God, they wrapped everything up.
Right? Oh, yeah, sorry, there was a Star Wars crossover as well. But no, but I just mean, like, but still, even though you couldn't scale that tech, you would think that you wouldn't let go of that tech. If, you know what I mean? Like, if it worked at all, even the slightest bit, you think you'd find some way to be using it. That's all I was saying. Anyway. I also watch Welcome to Wrexham. I think I'm a couple episodes behind on that, but I just, like, really like that. And they have this, they have a couple of different ones on like Welsh culture, which is pretty cool because I certainly like didn't know any of that before I started watching the show. So that's definitely really cool. And I didn't forget this time, two new episodes of Doctor Who. So have you seen both 73 Yards and God in Bubble? Those are the two I'm talking about. So two since the last time.
I'm one we were together.
Yeah, I think I'm one behind. Oh.
So you've seen 73 Yards.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's sure. The one with the
old the woman that stays exactly 73 yards away from Ruby for decades.
Oh no, I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh then. Christ, okay. Dude!
Shit. Okay, well, because that's the episode that I really want to talk about. Because it bothered.
I'll pop my headphones on. Okay, you can go.
Okay, ahead. And anybody else, Carol? You've seen this one, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so. What was she saying to people that was getting them to run away and never be a part of her life anymore? That's the only thing they didn't like explain.
I don't know if they actually had enough of
her mom.
Yeah, I don't think they actually explained it.
They didn't. No,
they're keeping everything about Ruby kind of
So you think that it's related to the overall plot?
Yeah, it's related to the overall Ruby arc. Like
who she is and what her mystery is.
Yeah.
Oh, that was driving me crazy.
So it's going to be tied in with the whole Snow thing.
Okay, so this is more of like your Bad Wolf kind of overarching multiple. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Rich, you can come back. We didn't determine a signal. Rich.
Good to go? Okay.
And then I just went, wait a minute. We never established how we were going to let him know that he could come back. But then, you know, the universal thumbs up. We could have given you Jamie Tartt's signal. Oh, well, I think I just found a loophole for the F word on Twitch. Anyway. And then the next one, the one called Dot and Bubble, the last one that's been released. I'm not going to talk about it too much, but it's definitely an interesting social commentary on like how we are as a people.
We have to talk about this.
I am certainly not one to dictate your geeky sweeks. You are busy human beings. You have.
But you need to pencil that. You need to pencil that shit in. Come on now.
Moving to the top of your TV list, so we can talk about Doctor Who.
I'm 100% positive the last episode I saw was the one where the doctor had a single tear rolling down his cheek.
Yeah, that was Boom.
That's been all of them that I've seen at some point in time.
He's emotional and deal with it.
No. He's good at it. Like, as an actor, you can pull off the single rolling tear in an intense situation. It's like crazy. Yeah, I think the last one that I saw was the one with the mine.
Yeah, I actually like that one because it's a very nice testament against the war machine and capitalism.
Yeah.
It appealed to my liberal heart.
When we do get a good... that's a spoiler as well. Okay, well, I'll just let you all catch up and we will table Doctor Who over next time. We watch one episode randomly just because, like, sometimes you need a 30-minute show. When most of your shows are, like, an hour to 45 minutes, you need, like, I'm not quite ready to go to bed yet, but I don't want to watch a whole other hour-long show. So Shorzy happens to be half an hour, and it's so back good. On, or at least a couple episodes have dropped. I think they're doing weekly releases of the show. Mm-hmm. And, man, that show is messed up, but so, so incredibly funny. Oh, I just love that show. Like you know how there are just creators out there where you're pretty much like, whatever they make, you're going to give it a shot. You know, Kevin Smith, just like, why am I blanking on a whole bunch of lists? We all have those lists Dan of people Harman. That we just know. Mm-hmm. Right. Where we just know if they make something, they're going to try it. And Harman. What is it? Is it Jared Kelso, which is his name, or Kiso?
Kiso.
Like basically anything that his name is on, I'm going to at least have to check it out because he's mm-hmm. just so freaking funny. I also went to Hershey Park.
What's crazy is if you go back and watch like old shows like Psych or Leverage or, you know, old whatever it might be, some of those old episodes from the 2000s or whatnot, you'll see him pop up as just kind of an extra
character, or actor. Just,
like he'll have some lines or whatever. And it takes you a minute to realize who that is.
Wow, it's that's like, cool.
Oh my God, that voice sounds vaguely familiar and that smile is reckoned. Oh my God.
Yeah. Especially well, it's cool to think he kind of paid his dues and now he's getting to make the things that he wants to make. And that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Living the dream, baby.
Yeah, Shorzy. Cool. But I like sports shows. I generally do. But yeah, that one's definitely really funny. Okay, next on my list, MJ and I went to Hershey Park. She was up there for a soccer tournament. And it was fun. They won two games, lost one, had a good time. And yeah, Hershey Park is just really fun. There's something for everyone there. And I think a lot of geeks like amusement parks and, you know, going around and just doing all things. So she's not big on like the roller coasters, which kind of makes me sad because like, I'd like to go on some stuff. But I understand because she's like little, you know, and when you're little, you don't feel like secure. You feel like you could fall out of those things. Like, so, I mean, maybe she'll want to do that when she's older, maybe not, but like it was still super fun. And on the way there, like there was traffic in DC. So it took us like all the way west and like up 81. Yeah. And, but before it got us on this, like on the highway where there's all those trucks, it took us through some really cool, like pretty, like rural areas where there were like vineyards and stuff. We didn't stop, but it was just like, it was actually like a gorgeous part of the country. So it was really, really neat to see like that western part of Virginia. It looks very much I mean, like you're driving down a paved road, but it still looks like what it would have looked like hundreds of years ago, you know, with farming and just rolling fields, you know. So anyway, that was pretty cool. And let's see. Because Bridgerton isn't out, I finally watched the one they did with like Queen Charlotte and her storyline. And I had actually watched one episode of it before and then was like, oh, I don't really like this, and didn't come back to it. And then I rewatched it again. I was like, okay, I do actually like this. You know, that one episode where they have lots of sex notwithstanding. But it was a very interesting like take on mental illness, if you will, right? And like what it takes to support someone with mental illness. Because if you'll know, like the Bridgerton stuff is loosely based on real history. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Queen Charlotte, who was married to Mad King George during the, you know, before the time of the colonies revolution, right? It's the 1700s. But of course they take vast license with that. I mean, there's a lot of differences, and it's just sort of set in that era. But it was interesting because everybody knows that he was, you know, they all call him insane, and he was insane in so many reasons, but just like the way that they potentially tried to like medically heal him. It wasn't just all leeches, but it was a lot of, you know, pretty pseudoscience, and just kind of what it means to support somebody going through something like that. It was a very kind of interesting modern take on, you know, historical kind of fiction. So it was interesting. And I probably have forgotten a thing or two. I think we've probably watched at least one episode of Tracker. Oh, we did. He was in a wetsuit.
He was in a wetsuit.
Change into the wetsuit. And it was one of those full body wetsuits, but whatever. It was still a pretty good episode.
We need to make a stinger, Billy. It's just Tracker Watch, Boy Poppy, or something like that.
We can rate the episode based on shirts. You remember how we used to do like movies by pants? So we can rate the episode. Be like, this gets 2 shirts because he was wearing his shirt the entire time.
Totally was.
So wait, yeah. So is a higher ranking no shirt or more shirt? See, that's very confusing.
You're right. I got to workshop this a little bit more. Yeah.
Well, you could call how many shirts off.
Or shirts off, or how many bottles of water it takes to rehydrate.
Fair enough.
True facts.
Fair enough.
Oh, let me just say that one scene was a 3-bottler. Okay.
Left me very, very thirsty. Okay, for my Geeky Week.
Okay, I'll go next. So big thing on my Geeky Week was Con Carolinas.
Did you have a good time?
I did. It was, well, behind the scenes, there was some craziness. We had some hotel craziness Sunday morning. And that's always fun to deal with. But overall, it was a successful convention. Kevin J. Anderson.
You mean like a fire alarm in the middle of the night? Like,
no. Three of the 4 elevators were down Sunday morning as everyone was attempting to check out.
So ironically, you still had to use the stairs.
Which were tough to get to because the stairwell was outside of the hotel. So one of our friends on her scooter was trapped in between floors for about 25 minutes on one of the hotels. Oh, no. And then Ohio Mark, another one of our friends, was also trapped in a elevator for about a half an hour.
Wow.
So, was anyone trapped in there with him? Because I feel worse for them.
He did not have anyone with him. But...
Oh, wow. Out of a setup. I'm sorry, Mark.
He's on vacation. That was.
I'll be trapped in an elevator with you. We could dad joke it up the entire time.
But yeah, so that was pleasant. One of the escalators was down the entire weekend, so we just overtaxed the elevators, I think.
Yeah, and the other one goes up, right? That's how escalators work.
Yeah, the one that goes
there.
Up. So there were some hotel shenanigans.
People just throwing their luggage out the window, like
they had to actually let everyone have late checkout because happened just as checkout, and people couldn't. I mean, our friend Wanda was waiting for an elevator because she's got a walker, and she was waiting for an hour. Wow. For an elevator.
Wow. They'd be like, yeah, no, I'll be in my room. You let me know when I can leave.
Yeah, in the elevator. So that was fun, but that was not fun. But other things that were fun, Kevin J. Anderson was a wonderful guest. He was our author guest of honor. And we raised a few thousand for Time Out Youth Charlotte. Which is a great charity. And I finally saw I sat in on a part of the film festival. And finally saw 2 movies done by buddies of ours. Jason Buterin's new film, "The Blue-Eyed Boy" and "Meets Mr. Death."
Was it great?
It was great. It was great. And then Dave Harlequin's new film, Bobby Comes Home, which was really good too. So we had some great films at the film festival.
With a vengeance.
You know, that's good, Carol. I'm glad that you did that, because sometimes it's really hard to, you know, when you're, you know, running things and in charge, to be able to like actually enjoy and go and participate and see programming that you want. So I'm really glad that you were able to do that.
Yeah, but Bill had to, Bill Mulligan, who usually runs our film festival, had a signing because he published a book last year. And I was like, I'll watch the, I'll sit in and mind the film festival. So, yeah. So it was a good time. It was a successful convention. They will be talking to the hotel because, yeah, that was not fun Sunday morning. It was really not fun Sunday morning. But we had a good crowd. So, yeah.
That's good.
All in all, really, really fun. I came home with content.
At the same hotel? Has it always been there?
We did 2 years at a bigger hotel and then went back to our standard hotel.
That hotel.
I know.
I had my senior prom at that hotel. Yeah, crap.
I'm not particularly fond of the hotel, but we're at that stage of a convention where we're right at about 2,000 people. So the bigger hotel, we're too small for that bigger hotel, but we're too big for other hotels. Yeah. So we're kind of stuck as to where we can go. I know there are people who are looking into other places, but I think we're actually locked in this hotel until at least 2025.
That's right around the corner.
Yeah. So
I'm really glad that you had a good time other than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good convention. I didn't stay at the hotel. I actually drove home each night. It's about a 20-minute drive, but I didn't have anybody to watch the kiddies. So I just drove home. Con Carolinas, come see us next year. We're already working on next year. I came home with Concrete. It wasn't COVID, but it only lasted about 48 hours.
I'm glad it wasn't COVID.
Yeah, I was glad it wasn't COVID too. So I'm still tired because Monday night I couldn't sleep due to the coughing. Tuesday night my power went out and the house went up to about 78 degrees, so I couldn't sleep because of heat. So I'm still kind of recovering from con. I did see two movies, however. I saw Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, and absolutely loved it.
Okay.
It's not quite Fury Road, but it's close. It's close. I think Fury Road's a masterpiece. Furiosa it's really good.
I didn't see a lot of press for it. Like, I sort of saw some people on social media, but it's one of these that seems to have sort of slipped by me. Now, I'm not the most aware media consumer, let's just put it at that. But yeah. Usually something like that would have at least caught me. I would have seen an ad for it somewhere.
Yeah, they only did a couple of trailers for it.
Yeah, so they're not going to sink a whole lot of budget movie into a female-led film because those don't do well because there's no marketing for them and people don't know when they're coming out because they don't do enough money because they don't do enough promo, so they don't do enough.
And of course, you know, a lot of the fanboys were like, we're not going to see her because it's Furiosa and she already stole Fury Road. screw you.
Chris Hemsworth is
having a blast in this movie.
GRD listeners, let's get ourselves to the theater, right?
Yeah. George Miller is such a good director, and I think everybody should see his films. I also watched The First Omen, which...
Hey now.
getting good reviews, and I have no idea why, if I didn't like this film.
Because... It while not being the most logical film, it's getting good reviews from people that like the camera work and, you know, the
slow motion. Yes. There's so much slow motion in this damn film. I'm like, oh, could you just get on with it?
Now, what's really crazy about this movie is it is a prequel to The Omen. And when I say prequel to The Omen, I mean the original film.
The original Omen. Yeah, they actually use Gregory Peck's picture at the end of this film because that's who they're giving Damien. But it's like, you know what happens. Right. So it's one of those prequels. I don't know why they made it.
It's The First Omen. That came out like 50 years ago, didn't it?
No. See, technically,
this is called The First Omen.
Yeah. They just didn't.
The original movie was called The Omen.
Yes.
Right.
This movie's called The First Omen because it's about an omen that happens before that one.
Before the. But it completely negates a part of The Omen that it doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I will do a full review on it.
And the crazy cool thing is they do try to leave you room at the end of this. They did try to sort of set up a sequel.
Sort of. And I don't know where they're going with that.
Right.
It's like, well, it's not going to go anywhere because I've seen the final.
But.
What is the final conflict?
Take this how you will. It's not the Worst Omen sequel.
No, that's the final conflict.
Really? Because let's not forget the TV movie number 4.
Oh, I didn't see the TV movie. Right. Oh gosh, maybe I should watch that one. I do plan to do a review for Soman. My Furiosa review turned into a Mad Max retrospective because I love all of the Mad Max films. But TV wise, I have almost caught up with Doctor Who. I did watch the first episode of Acolyte, the new Star Wars film or new Star Wars show, and I actually liked it.
When did that come out? Okay,
2 days ago.
Hmm.
We've been traveling. Yeah, we've been traveling.
Yeah.
We weren't traveling 2 days.
We'll stay up late and watch it tonight. Watch.
I liked it. Is it the best Star Wars thing I've ever seen? Probably not. But
Andor. No, just kidding. Mandalorian. No, just kidding.
Andor's actually really good. But it's
Andor and Rogue One,
Yeah. But it's a TV show. People are like, the costumes look cheap. It's like, it's a TV show. It's like, I don't understand the hate. Everyone's like, it sucks, and all the acting is terrible. It's like, you haven't even watched it, so screw you.
As long as the set pieces in this too, and everything looks better than the Stargate TV show, it's fine.
Yeah, and it does. So I will continue watching it. And then I started Ripley, which is a miniseries on Netflix about the talented Mr. Ripley, starring Andrew Scott. And I'm enjoying that. It's far creepier than like the Matt Damon talented Mr. Ripley, but this is like a series. So
Matt Damon wasn't in Aliens.
Different Ripley.
Yeah, different Ripley. But you know I'm enjoying.
I couldn't believe Scott's it kind or of, not.
Sorry. Kind of psychotic take on Tom Ripley. So it's I'm liking that. And then that was it. That was my geeky sweep. Mostly a con and recovering from con. And
did you do any panels at the con, or you were?
I did. I try to limit myself when I'm doing programming. Mm-hmm. I try and limit myself just in case, because we did have like an emergency Saturday morning, so I had to rearrange some things. And if I'm free, I can jump into a panel. So I did the folk horror panel. A banned books panel, and then the Star Trek panel Sunday morning. Nice. So I just kind of plug myself in where I can. And then we did Terrible Movies with Wonderful People, a live version of that.
What was the terrible movie?
We did Attack of the Crab Monsters, which is Roger Corman film with the doofiest crab monster you'll ever see.
I don't know. I've seen Aquabats.
This one is up there. It's really bad, but we had fun with it. Very, very low crowd. We were up against karaoke and a dance party that went into the wee hours of the morning that we had to shut down, actually. So, but yeah, that was my geeky sweep.
Nice.
That's interesting. We'll have to talk about that, because like most of the conventions that I go to, like the dance party never really gets going. Like people are in room parties or doing other things. So, you know, I mean, we could take this offline, but it's just like, that's interesting to hear, because you just don't think like
this is run like, mid-sized
cons are not all the same.
Yeah, this is run by a gaming group, so they're mostly gamers, but it's also outside because there's a patio at this hotel. I will say, I was dropping off something in a suite on the 11th floor, and this was at around 11:30 at night, and I actually texted the con chair. I was like, I'm on the 11th floor, and I can hear that party Thursday.
That's how you know it's a good party, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, we're going to start getting complaints.
Yeah, turn it down just
And it was soon after that they shut it down, because it was like, guys, we're just too loud. But it was outside. There's a whole lake behind this hotel.
It's really pretty.
Yeah, it's really pretty. Just don't go in the lake.
We're talking to you, Mr. Buterin.
That's right. We don't want to pick leeches off you again.
Again?
I mean, it's kind of new.
That's a story for another episode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've not had him on as played shown up. Oh, hell no, I don't think, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
We did?
Oh, we did, okay.
Sure did.
But that was my geekiest week.
My geekiest week. Finally watched Dune 2. Woo-hoo! Dune Part 2. I really liked it.
Electric Dune. Great.
Yes.
Damn, it's a good movie. It's a good movie.
It is. It is. And somebody who's not read the books, you know, is still watching the original Lynch version that I started many years ago because it's so goddamn long. You know, I'm rolling in cold aside from what was in the first movie. And I really like the way that they're doing like the inner monologues and all that jazz. The filming on the Harkonnen homeworld was really cool. Them using the infrared video or infrared whatever lenses and stuff. And it just gave it this really cool, interesting look. And yeah, it was just all in all, just really, really cool. And I like what they're going with Paul. And I'm looking forward to, you know, part three, Dune Messiah, whenever that comes out.
He's writing Dune Messiah, so.
I think it'll be really good. And I think it's also important that they continue that story so we find out what happens when
he's
you.
Not a hero, guys.
Yeah.
There are no heroes in this story.
Yeah, get to see what happens when, you know, you make somebody a messiah. Who's not the messiah. He's a very mod boy. I've been playing Fallout 76, enjoying the hell out of that. They recently had Meat Week, which follows the super mutant character and his two-headed Brahmin, Chali, who what you do in the event is you go around, you pick greens. You can shoot little rabbits and three-headed opossums and get their critter bits, and you put them in a stew pot, and you put the greens in another pot. And then you got to make sure that you put the little fires out and you clean up the remains from other animals that weren't cleaned up before. And you pick up Charlie's.
You pay paint. Money to play this game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, actually, you don't have to pay. I got a free thanks to Amazon Prime. But you do all that. And you can even have AFK people just turning the spit, making sure the meat gets cooked. And you get some people playing little instruments in the background, some drums. And you get all kinds of cool rewards for it. It is the most ridiculous, silly thing I think I have done in a video game. And I absolutely loved it, and I continue to love playing that game. And I haven't really done much of the quest stuff. Just going out there, goofing around, doing the events, stuff like that is really cool. It's really fun. Even meeting new players and, you know, kind of teaching them the little bit that I know. It's just such a damn blast. I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
It should be enjoyable. I'm glad that you're having fun. Yeah. Isn't it sometimes games will get to the point where you feel like you have to grind through, or like you know, you're just not enjoying it but you want to finish it or mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah, I'm glad that you're having fun.
100%. And that's one of the tricky things, because I've been obviously over the past couple of years been really into the RP side of whether it's a GTA or Red Dead. And two new counties dropped in the Red Dead side of things, and unfortunately one of them that was looking like the most appealing one is nothing but a grind fest just to survive. Mm. And there is no player run economy. I think they seem to have planned everything for all the cool unique stuff that makes the county unique, but none of the base level stuff. So it's nothing but grinding and doing these boring jobs, and there was no logic or thought process that went to it, and they're already losing players. And a lot of people are just kind of like, yeah, man, like, that's cool. There's all this extracurricular stuff that you can do, but can't afford it. Can't do anything like that, you know, barely making enough for my tune to survive. And then it's like, people complaining, well, this is realistic. It's like, this is my freaking happy fun time game.
Right.
It's dumb. I want to go and I want to hang out with my friends. I want to goof around, tell stories, make stories, all that kind of stuff. I enjoy farming in these games, but I'm not going to do it all the entire time just to be able to eat. God damn it, I got
to
do
like,
that.
I would time travel back to the, you know, the 1800s for like a couple of days and just like see what it was like, but I wouldn't want to live there.
Exactly. And so it's always a delicate balance, but there's some people that do it way too far because they want to be all, you know, we're catering to the RP, the storytellers. And it's like, yeah, but it's still a video game. Got to have fun, you jackass.
Anyway. Still got to be fun.
Exactly. Discovery, really dug Discovery, the way they closed it out. I thought it was really good. And I admit that at the ending of it, I was like, okay, this seems like there's supposed to be more meaning behind it. And apparently, if you've watched the finale of Discovery and, you know, kind of feel the same way that I did, that is because they are setting up something that was done in one of the short treks, one of the, you know, kind of webisodes or, you know, streaming specific to the site things. As it's a fantastic, gorgeous story. And it stars Aldis Hodge, who I'll watch in anything because, you know, Age of the Geek, baby. Loved him in Leverage. But from, you know, if you watch that episode of Short Trek, there's no setup and no major payoff, but you're just like, okay, wow, that was the thing that happened. All right. And so it's really fascinating to see how they made sure that they didn't violate the own canon that they set up, even through the extra stuff. So that really tells me that they gave a crap about the show. And with what you were saying, Terry, about the extended ending, from what I understand is that the sixth season was going to be about how they get to that point. It was basically what that extended thing that was going to be the story of how they set up for that.
Oh, so they tried to give us they tried to give us the whole sixth season in an episode.
Yeah, unless
I don't know if that makes me feel better or worse.
Well, it means that at the time they didn't know, but when they did know, they gave them enough room to say goodbye, which was important because that was when that was when they went back and did those things, was to be able to make sure that for the actors, for the writers, for the cast, the crew, for us, that we got that closure, which was really important.
I would far rather than air on that side, like trying to close up too much than not closing up enough. 100%.
100%. 100%. And I started something while watching dinner tonight. A TV show that we have often poked a little bit of fun at, made kind of side glances at. But as of the first episode, it's pretty good. And that's The Rookie. The Rookie, starring Nathan Fillion.
I mean, Nathan Fillion is a national treasure.
He is. He is good. We claim him. Screw you, Canada. But the show is good. It really is.
I've seen clips of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never seen the whole. I've seen parts of episodes. Mm-hmm.
So I am willing to watch it until it starts to suck. It might. It's been going for a long time. It's a procedural TV show and whatnot, but necessary roughness meets Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm fine with. Okay, I'm more than happy to watch it. It's not as silly as Nine-Nine, but Nathan Fillion's charming. The rest of the cast is charming, and unless they really kind of tank it, then I'll be like, okay, that was cool. I gave it a shot. I'm not the target demo for it. I'm fine with that. But Nathan Fillion's charming as hell, and it's been going for a long time. So they must be doing something right.
You'd think he'd be promoted from rookie status at this point. But
is the question. I think what I'm anticipating is that every season there's something that happens where he goes rogue, loose cannon, and he gets fired. But then he's so darn good that they bring him back. So he's the rookie again each and every year.
Fair enough.
I'd be all right with that. I'd be okay with that.
And that's been my Geeky Sweet.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, let's see. I've read the first issue of this year's 2024 DC Pride, so yay.
Yay.
Dumped all the gay hijinks with your superhero friends that drive people crazy. Well,
shouldn't
crazy.
That be yay?
You'd think so, right?
Yeah.
So over on Amazon Prime, I watched a little show called Jury Duty. Jury Duty is sort of like your documentary style where they take a trial, they take, you know, the jury, and they go through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except one guy is actually a potential juror. Everybody else in the show is an actor. They have a fake trial. They go through the whole jury process with this guy not knowing that this is not real. And what makes this kind of interesting, because I'm not going to say it's a great show and you're going to laugh out loud hysterically, but there's some funny and interesting moments that are in the show. One of the best ones being that James Marsden is in the show, playing James Marsden. He's also been called as a potential juror and ends up being an alternate on the jury.
Yeah, from what I've heard is, like, if that guy hadn't been as, like, ready to roll and genuine as he was, then, like because there were things that just kind of caught them off guard that he reacted in the way that he did. And they were like, okay, so we got to kind of change how we're going to be dicking around on this guy and actually, like, try to do some good with it. And
because it turns out he's actually a decent guy.
Yeah. And apparently there was some stuff that, like, if he wasn't cool, it'd be traumatic what they did to him.
So, and I want to say it's like, it's only six episodes, but here's the fun thing. In the penultimate episode, episode five, the judge brings, cause the guy ends up, of course, being the foreman of the jury. The judge brings him up and starts talking to him. And at the end of episode five, tells him that the whole thing was fake. So episode six is just him like, what? And going back and us seeing some of the things that they had, like you're talking about, things that happened they had to adjust for because of the things that did happen. So it was interesting. It was interesting. And, you know, you would do worse things, I promise you. Let's see.
One of these days, a show like that is going to get somebody shot.
Right? Yep. So then over on Hulu, I caught the show Pauline. Pauline is a German show.
Pauline.
It is, again, I believe, just six episodes. But Pauline, she's like about 19 years of age. We start off the show where she's having herself a one-night stand, whatever, blah, blah, blah. She immediately leaves because she's cool like that. But as it turns out, oops, yeah, she got pregnant. You know, she was using protection, but she's pregnant. And she doesn't want to go and see this guy and talk to this guy about it because, you know, that whatever. But, of course, she keeps running into him. And then it becomes even more complicated when she learns that the guy whose kid she's carrying is the son of Satan.
Whoa.
So,
what a tweet!
So the show gets a little interesting. As
wait, is this the first omen?
I also watched Xuon Origins, which I didn't know was a thing. They've done a TV show out of Xuon. If you're an ignorant American, that would be The Grudge. But here's a really, really weird thing. Xuon Origins posits that what we're about to watch is basically a dramatization of the real case that the Xuon movies are based on. So that being said, it's not about the family that we've gone through like 22 movies with. It's the first time in Xuon Kayoko is not a character, not in at all. And it's a little weird. But if you're a fan of Xuon, it still kind of works. And it's in TV series format, which is really, really strange. That's weird. Really strange. So then I watched an Australian show. Look at me. I'm international. Yeah, an Australian show called In Limbo. The best way to describe this is that your opening scene, there's these two guys, they're talking. One guy is dressed. He's ready. The other guy's trying to get dressed. What's he going to wear? Whatever. Because they're going to a funeral. And this guy has to give the eulogy. So dude's busting his balls about what he's going to wear, what are you going to say, and all these fun things, bullshit, whatever. Until we finally get to the point where we realize the funeral they're going to is his friend's. Because his friend is dead and has come back and only he can see him. He is, you know, in limbo. Haha, I see what they did there. It's an interesting...
Wolfred with ghosts.
Right. It's an interesting and quite deep show. However... This show has the worst goddamn inserting commercial spots that I've ever seen of any show.
Is it because it wasn't intended for American audiences? Or
if only it was just that bad. But like literally this character says a line and we go to commercial. And we come back and the character says her other three or four lines. And then the screen fades to black in a natural place that you could have gone to commercial on. It's just weird. They're very bad at those to start with, but this one was just particularly offensive in how it did it, which is a shame.
It almost makes you want to look at the credits and figure out who did it and like be like, hey jackass. Can I give you some feedback on this movie?
Do you know how this is supposed to go, you jackass?
Can you imagine? See, there's those black parts. That's where you're supposed to go to commercial.
So I watched the first Omen, but we talked about that, so that would be my geeky week.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
A band of orphans led by a thief have found drums of poison that they want to use on a gang that's been bullying them, but Chad's crew's got to stop this whole homicidal threat. Chad is captured by a despot who uses magic to enslave his superstitious subjects. Abby wants Stefan work up some scientific magic to get him out of trouble. The crew steps up to protect a wild boy from some angry townspeople, and Chad uncovers some strange gems that glow and cause odd effects on people. Chad knows this will cause a racket. Abby's concerned for this danger that's in paradise, and Stefan just keeps monkeying around. Strange situations abound when you travel the vessel dyad. The barge tandem. The boat duet. That sounds right.
Oh, the mail's in.
But of course it is. Hi, geeks. I was home for a change. I'm so far behind in podcasts, partly because I'm still trying to learn how to use AntennaPod, an open source podcast app. Sadly, I had to replace Dogcatcher because it was no longer being updated to work properly with the latest Android OS updates. You have to stay, come on people, stay current. With my 99th percentile ADD and always with divided attention at best, my takeaway from your episode is that I'll enjoy video games adaptations one way or another if I can watch them with friends or family.
Or another.
I mean, I think you will. I wouldn't watch the what's the movie? She Kicks High. What is that game?
Dead or Alive?
No, not Dead or Alive. Dead or Alive, no. Don't watch the Dead or Alive movie. That's a bad movie.
I was thinking of the volleyball one.
You were. I'm
glad. But it is. It's Soul Calibur? No.
No, it was Dead or Alive. You're right. I said that. I'm glad I got to hear you. I know you've had occasional technical problems, such as the time you didn't know if you'd unplug something. I had to go support Dr. Bob Tesla's wife and child with the movie they hosted. I was about 25% of their attendance, so I was needed there most. I still love you all. Flinstress, I'm trying to send one of the Autism Society of Central Virginia Advocacy Council members to the River City Roller Girls. In her ACSV online bio, she mentions that she loves to skate. Well, I got to get going. Thanks always for being fun. Stay safe. That is from Bill. So thank you,
hey,
sir.
Bill. Oh, that's awesome.
I do appreciate that. Hello, geeks. So Little Monsters means Fred Savage or Howie Mandel. So a quick look at their credits on IMDb, and I saw something that floored me. In 1992, there was a live-action Sea Monkeys show? The Sea Monkeys? And Howie Mandel created the show? I have no idea if people were finishing off the leftover cocaine from the 80s, but Chabby are on the amazing live Sea Monkeys. Now I need to have a drink and check this out. Oh, and you're right. The new season of Doctor Who is very good. Hey, Rich, cover yours real quick.
Hey.
Did old Ruby explain who Ruby really is and that's why people freak the hell out? Keep geeking. That is from Amanda. Come on back, Ray. Come on back.
Okay, come back.
See, but that could be a thing. That could be one of the reasons right there. So after you watch the next episode, listen to the show, Rich. All kinds of stuff is about that. If you'd like to leave us a message, you can absolutely do that. Drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, a voicemail or text message. We're old school. We still take those. You just need this phone number here.
510-GRD-CREW.
And, you know, there's no waiting because, you know, it's all automated stuff.
A Whovian and a Nuvian walk into a TARDIS
and explore every episode of the classic Doctor Who series.
Join me, podcaster John S. Drew,
and me, writer-editor Jim Beard, as we take apart each story starting from the very beginning in 1963.
And join us on our Facebook page and Twitter, where we continue the discussion with you with historical artifacts from British papers of the time. The Doctor's Beard Podcast, released every Saturday around tea time on your favorite podcasting app.
And we'll see you in time and space.
I am Colin Baker, and you lucky people, are listening to Geek Radio daily, every day, daily.
I mean, that's what the cool kids say. And I can't imagine how they would be wrong in any way, shape, or form.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view.
Production on a new installment in the Naked Gun series has begun. The continuation of the classic series will star Pamela Anderson, Paul Walter Hauser, Danny Houston, and taking on the role of Lieutenant Frank Drebin Jr. is actor Liam Neeson.
He has a very certain set of skills.
First on television in Police Squad, and then on the big screen in The Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad and its two sequels. Well, one we only like to consider. Leslie Nielsen portrayed Lieutenant Frank Drebin, while the Irish actor is set to portray his son in the new slapstick comedy. Though The Naked Gun reboot, it's not really a reboot, has been in development since 2013, things really got moving in 2021 when Seth MacFarlane was brought on board to help develop the project. The film was officially given the green light in 2022 when it was announced that Liam Neeson would be starring in the lead role with direction by Akiva Schaffer of Lonely Island and MacGruber fame and Hot Rod and quite a few other good things. Now, I personally love the idea of Neeson in this type of role, especially because he's getting older and the action movies are a little tougher to do. And there's definitely a need for movies like this. Since the only thing that has been able to fill that void since Naked Gun 2.5 has been the amazing and awesome Angie Tribeca with
nice,
a few pit stops with Not Another Teen Movie, but the Not Another Movies got way out of line. But for anyone out there who doesn't think that the 71-year-old acting powerhouse is capable of being amazing in this role, Google Liam Neeson improv or Liam Neeson tricks are for kids. And then make sure you get yourself a chicken burrito. Wow. Dude, when I read that story, I was like, oh, Naked Gun. Great. What's this going to be? Well, okay. Akiva Schaffer. I'm sorry. The Neesons? I was just like, that's brilliant. That is 100% brilliant.
That's a good career move for him. Now's the time to let us know he can do comedy, right?
Well, he has been comedic in things. He was funny in A Million Ways to Die in the West. But then, of course, you go to the, I think it was from Life is Short, the Stephen Merchant and Ricky Gervais show that starred Warwick Davis. And Liam Neeson goes in there and to try improv. And it is some of the funniest stuff. And he is not he's acting like he's not making jokes. And it is the things that he's saying is incredibly serious and it's ridiculous. And it was clearly the inspiration for the Tricks for Kids stuff from Ted. And so I think he's going to be amazing in that role.
Cool.
Awesome.
So speaking of ancient mummies.
Wow.
Liam Neeson is that old.
Wow. Hurtful.
Mexico's Federal Archaeology Agency on Monday accused the conservative-governed city of, oh gosh, Guanajuato. I think I'm going to mispronounce that. Guanajuato, of mistreating one of the country's famous mummified 19th-century bodies. How do you mistreat a mummy? People, have we learned nothing from the mummy?
We know how you mistreat a mummy.
The National Institute of Anthropology and History, or INAH, said that during recent renovations at the museum, where the mummified bodies are on permanent display, the arm of one of the mummies, well, came off. Are you part of my mummy? One might think the complaint is all about the dignified treatment of corpses buried around the early 1800s and dug up starting in the 1860s because their families could no longer pay burial fees. But in fact, the mummies have been on a somewhat grisly display in glass cases in the Museum of Guanajuato, the capital state of the same name, and toted around at two tourism fairs for decades. Some were exhibited in the United States in 2009. Seriously, the pic that goes with this story, it's a really icky display. go check out this article because
it's not for the faint of heart.
they don't do these poor mummies justice. What appears to be the root of the latest dispute is a turf battle between the INAH, which believes it has jurisdiction over the mummies because it says they are national patrimony, and Guanajuato, which considers them a tourist attraction. The state and the city are governed by the Conservative National Action Party, which the Morena Party, which holds power over the federal level, considers an arch enemy. Oh, wow. Political arch enemy getting involved politics. In mummy business. Who knew? On Monday, yeah. The Institute said it would demand an accounting of what permits and procedures were followed during the museum's renovations. It did not say what, if any, other bits of the mummies had fallen off. But if you happen to go to the museum and find a big toe somewhere, be sure to return it, because that mummy will come back for it. I read this in a book once called Scary Stories to Tell in the
Dark. Can you imagine when you're working there and you're like adjusting it or whatever, and its arm falls off? You have to be like, you know, freaking out.
You know,
and then
some
you just
poor
start
worker
hearing Lynchy, Kinchy, Collie, Molly, Dingo, Dingo.
Oh no. And you're trying to like put it back on.
You just like tuck it in your shirt and leave because it won't go back on.
Oh my
what?
God.
It didn't have an arm. Seriously.
Pulling gum off, sticking it on there.
Duct tape.
Isn't that basically modern mummification? Duct tape.
Well, if this did happen to somebody, they would probably be pretty messed up after the fact. They might suffer from something like PTSD from this experience. Of course, nothing, you know, like the PTSD that, you know, people coming back from war have experienced, and some like real serious issues. And while there's lots of different, you know, treatments, there's, you know, psychotherapy, a variety of like antidepressants. Apparently, a group of scientists who've been studying the potential benefits of MDMA, yep, that's right, ecstasy on PTSD. Yeah. No shit. It probably makes you feel a whole lot better to be on ecstasy, except that, you know, maybe it's not actually all that effective. So even though there is a growing momentum to legalize MDMA and other psychedelics, there's a company called Lykos Therapeutics. They've been testing it alongside psychotherapy in clinical trials for years. But here are some of the issues, right? And they've actually gotten this to the FDA, like trying to get the FDA to approve this. Only 2 of the 11 committee members were convinced that the treatment was effective. Everyone else was like, yeah, I don't think so. The trials were generally positive, but yeah, like we said, no shit, because here's some problems, right? First of all, how are you supposed to be able to be on a placebo or not on a placebo? I think it's pretty obvious that you're on a psychedelic drug, right? So there's no control. There's no like, maybe I was on it, maybe I wasn't on it, right? So there's no placebo at all for it. Also, there was a whole bunch of like misconduct because the psychotherapy wasn't standardized at all in this particular study. So they're basically finding a lot of issues with that. They also weren't sure how long symptom relief would actually last. And they're still actually under consideration with the FDA. I don't see them approving this, but just the fact that someone was like, yeah, I think maybe, you know, ecstasy would help with PTSD, and let's run a whole bunch of tests and try to get it approved, is just like blowing my mind, man. But I guess, you know, how really like traumatized by past events can you be when you're like, oh, the colors, man.
Okay, then. So before The Simpsons, there was Star Trek, by which, of course, I mean predicting things that would become normal items for us to have in our lives. But now, one of the show's creations that went from real life back to the realm of fiction is gone now. A new NASA article has announced that a planet previously thought to be in the same place as Spock's homeworld of Vulcan is no more. And in fact, thanks to some tricky science, turns out it never actually was there to begin with. So yes, what? The fictional planet with the fictional alien isn't real, huh? Go figure. Next, he'll tell me the Earth's flat. According to a new study, the planet was first discovered 6 years ago, orbiting the star 40 Eridani. It was never actually there in the first place, though. It was simply the result of an astronomical illusion. Scientists first reported spotting what seemed to be a planet 16 light years away.
Magic tricks, Dad. Illusion.
In 2018. But the development of the more refined observation technology applied to Vulcan by astronomer Abigail Burroughs led to a different finding. While scientists originally thought this may have been, you know, observing a wobble in the star indicating that something was in that specific place, it turns out, no. Which, again, means that when science learns new things, it changes what it knows. Science is not lying to you, you stupid people. The potential planet's placement caused a stir when it was first announced, since it matched up perfectly with the description of the placement of Vulcan established by Gene Roddenberry. Back in 91, Roddenberry teamed up with scientists to figure out where Vulcan would logically exist, and the team wrote a letter to the Sky and Telescope magazine positing that a planet near 40 Eridani would be the perfect place for Spock's home world. They noted that some Star Trek books had, you know, put out conflicting information about the placement of Vulcan, but, you know, other than that, all other Trek is perfectly in sync with canon. From that point on, the location of Vulcan was canonized in Star Trek, appearing in the 2002 reference guide Star Trek Star Charts, getting a vague mention in an episode of Star Trek Enterprise, and even appearing on a map inside of Star Trek Discovery. Of course, the news that the real-life Vulcan, or HD26965B, as it was called, is not a planet does not diminish the show's mythology in the slightest. It's just one less fun fact for Trekkies to tell people at parties, assuming you go to parties. The franchise's track record for predicting the future still remains unmatched, though, of course, obviously aside from The Simpsons. Vulcan may be a mirage, but modern marvels like tablets, smartphones, video chat, and translation apps were all part of Star Trek lore before they were ever actually invented and became accessible as everyday gadgets. You know, just like those J.J. Abrams lights that you have. So yes, yes, there's going to be a holodeck, okay? There is. You're just going to have to understand that it's going to come from an adult entertainment company first. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons.
I'm fine with that.
Attributes is not commercial, not derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com or send a voicemail.
What the hell else would you use it for?
Or a text message, too, for some novels by that Picard likes to act out. What was that guy's name again? Never mind.
Oh, man.
His name was 510-GRD.
He's like Ace Shooter.
Something like that. Yeah, that's it. But yes, and now please think of all of your adult entertainment website names for a holodeck. I'm sure that will be very fun.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, suckers.
Scat. Skedaddle. Adios. Arrivederci. Ciao. Aloha. Fuck off.
The Honkadeck.
Oh, shit. Come on, Wong. I've been around. Wong, I've been around. My first year out of journalism school, I got knocked cold covering Devil's Knife for the Detroit Tribune. That was 1984. I woke up with my camera busted on the pavement, blood running down my shirt, big fat cop standing over me and he says, stay down. So I think I knew then what I was doing this job for, and in the years since, what? What, Wong?
They called you the N-word? Why on earth would they do that?
What, is that some kind of a joke? Why are you laughing? Oh, hey. Hey. Hey, answer me.
Ow. What? I should have known. Describe yourself to me, Arnie. Physically. Tell me what you look like.
Oh, no. You're fucking with me.
Because to me, you're not black, Arnie. To me, you're a sloppy white guy in a rumpled corduroy jacket with a tape recorder.